After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon. Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles. Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry, put a sheet on it with
Bounce. The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this sixth day of February. We got the lights flashing. Alrighty. 2025, and tonight on the board is my highly motivated and some say my look-alike.
Oh.
Style.
How alike.
Yeah. Hurt your feelings, didn't it?
A little bit. Just a little.
All right. And here live in the studio, we have from right to right, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Present, sir.
Little Lisa.
Present, and good evening, everyone.
The Elder Barkley.
Present.
And Aaron.
Present.
There you go. They're all present. We have a real class here.
You're right.
And way out yonder, and I believe it's, let's see, in Illinois, Chicago, if that's where he's at tonight, we have Dr. Peter Glurden.
President.
Okay, there you go. Well, we got a whole classroom tonight, but we're going to start tonight with a prayer because we got a prayer request. Another one just came in. And Connie in North Carolina is praying for Nancy, who is going in for breast cancer surgery. I guess it's a pretty serious operation, and she's not saved. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we know, Lord, that the very first blessing you can receive is that of salvation. And so, Lord, we don't know Nancy, but we know you do. And so we would ask, Lord, we want to hold Nancy up. And, Lord, whatever this is, we know that all things work together for good for those that love you. In this situation, Lord, sometimes the situations like this, like going under the knife, bring people to you. And a lot of times they say, well, there's nothing left to do but pray. Well, that's where they should have started. But for Nancy, we're asking, Lord, we're praying here tonight, Father, that that's exactly what she'll do, that she'll call upon your name tonight, and she'll call and ask you to be Lord of her life. So we're praying that that'll happen tonight, that Nancy would receive Christ as her Savior. And we know that from that time on, we know that once that happens, living or dying, it wouldn't matter because she'll end up in glory. So, Lord, we ask that you touch her. And, Lord, put the fear of you into her that she does that tonight. She repents of her sin and calls upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty, there you go. We're going to pick it up where we left off. The last part, the title of the message was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And so let's pick it up here in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Richard, would you read verse 11 through 16?
Absolutely. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
All right, let's go back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So that's an interesting thing. You know that in the Greek that pastors and teachers actually is pastor-teacher. It's one office, but here. What's an apostle? Who could tell me what's an apostle?
Is that one that was actually with, had been with Jesus?
Okay.
Yeah, the qualifications for an apostle are identified in Acts 1, and they were going through trying to replace Judas, and the qualifications for an apostle was to be with Jesus from the time of John the Baptist till his ascension, being a man, being having their heart right with the Lord, and chosen by God.
So they had to have seen Jesus after the resurrection.
Absolutely.
Okay, after. So now here, what about prophets? Do we have prophets today?
Well, not like the Old Testament prophets, but we do have people prophesying from the Word of God. But
we have
the canon of Scripture now, so a lot of this, that kind of old type
forth,
of work is...
Forth tellers and not foretellers.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
We used to be, so... And so then, here in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints and for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, perfecting of the saints and working on the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that just really talking about unity? Because the saints are going to get perfected when?
In the final judgment, of course, or in the final, when they're taken up by Christ. But this is I think the perfecting of the saints here is the teaching in the within the church, and all these jobs that you listed, you know, we talked about in 11, those are works within the church.
That would be equipping the saints.
Yeah, so it's not an you don't get these for an award for being old or being in a position of knowledge.
That's not fair.
I know. But it's really a work within the church, and as long as that work is able to be done by that person, then that's fine. But there's times when, as we know, sometimes we get to a point where we really can't do all that kind of work.
All righty, so he said, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, is that not synonymous? Is it not?
Really? Yeah.
And then we go that we henceforth, boy, here's a big one here. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by this sleight of men and the cunning of craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we see that in on a very, very large scale today, first in the apostate church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some of the things that the apostate churches, what are some of the absolute, I mean, extremely false teachings they teach you?
That the Word of God isn't flawless.
That the Word, say that.
They claim the Word of God isn't all accurate. That the inerrancy of Scripture is the worst, because okay. Everything is in the Bible.
They'll say one that, yeah, you're right. They'll say that it's the Bible, that there's mistakes in the Word of God, but they don't hold to the King James Bible, okay, the apostate church. But what do they say about the Lord Jesus? Some of the, and I'm talking about the extreme, in St. John's Cathedral, New York City, they have Christa. Who is Christa?
Put a female up there and make it like a female version of Christ. Like
right, they have, they have a virtually a naked woman upon a cross, and they call that's Christ. So what about God the Father? What do they say in the New Age Bibles that the feminists, they have their own Bible now. They call it God the Mother, Mother God, okay? These are some of the far-out teachings. To us, they're just absolute lunacy. But would that be lunacy to the woke people, to the feminist?
No.
No.
Well, you know, one of the problems is that what it does is a lot of the weak Christians, it confuses them. They really don't know how to, they're not spending the time they need to do in the Bible, and it just is confusing them in their beliefs.
So
yeah, they make it up as they go along because they're not grounded in the truth.
So would that have a great application in the prosperity church then? Because in the prosperity church, what they will do is sometimes they'll actually use some scriptures. I mean, I've even seen Kenneth Copeland read some scriptures from out of the Bible, but. You gotta get that thing turned off, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
We had a. So everybody, if you have your cell phone with you tonight, turn it off. I'm armed. Okay.
Not you, Peter Glidden. Don't turn your cell phone off.
Bad things could happen. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, anyhow.
Did you know that they've actually merged Buddhism and Christianity in some of these churches? It's called Buddhist Christianity.
Well, I've seen that, but more so, remember what Rick Warren had? Chrislam. Rick Warren started the Chrislam merging. Yeah. But something far worse than that, you know, was started by a guy named Ernst Moldemann, okay? And that was back in the early 1960s, and that was the socialist gospel, So that's where they try to mix Karl Marx, the teachings of Karl Marx, okay, with that of Jesus Christ.
Is that where the social justice gospel came from?
Well, if you want to call it central justice, yeah.
No, social justice.
Yeah, that's the socialist justice, okay. And then from there, but see, what they try to talk about is they made it look, and they're doing that today. You still have that in many of the World and National Council of Church, United Church of Christ.
They actually infected polluted like a good ministry, the Campus Crusade for Christ. Wasn't that, it started out very strong?
Yeah.
And then they went woke with social justice.
Right. They would go woke.
In the recent years.
Yeah. Moving to the left. Not just that, it's a lot of your main denominations, but denominations are not biblical, you know, but the vast majority of people are totally...
It's the evangelical deep state.
They're totally, when it comes to that, oblivious, not knowing that, you know, when all of these denominations, they think they're in the church, and they think that that's the way it was in the early church, but it's not at all.
Yeah.
So whenever you insert anything between Jesus Christ and the pastor of the local congregation or assembly, you have a denomination, whether it be the Vatican, whether it be the Synod, whether it be the Assembly, whether it be the Convention, whatever you call it, it is not biblical. That is, the government of the church is very simple. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. Okay, under him is the under-shepherd of the local congregation. Then you have elders and deacons, and then you have the assembly. That's very simple. You don't have any of these. Now, the title for pastor, for shepherd, for bishop, for presbyter, they're all the same office. They're all the same office. The parson, they're all the same office, okay? But people don't know that. And so what have they done today? They've tried to create a hierarchy. In other words, they'll say, all right, this man is a bishop over these four or five churches. He's the bishop over. No, that's not biblical at all. It's a twisting and a spinning, like it says here, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. Then you really get into the sleight of men when you're talking about the prosperity gospel, because they really know how to spin and twist the Word of God to take it out of context. And so whenever you have Scripture taken out of context, what do you end up with?
Pretext. Twisted Scripture, twisted theology.
Called a pretext.
Yeah,
okay. Pretext, and yeah.
So here, and this is where you have today. And he's warning about back in that day, but today it's really got out of hand, because many of these, especially your mega churches, are really not churches at all. They're entertainment centers. Many of them you might call country clubs, because.
Yeah, and the thing is, you mentioned the Bible and being in the authorized King James Bible, and how important it is. Most of these churches that are way out are not in the King James Bible.
No, I don't know any of them that are.
Right. So, you know, for the person that's having trouble understanding the Word of God, the first thing they need to do is a deep study on the translation issue so that they know what they're studying. And what will come out is they'll see that the authorized King James Bible is the inspired Word of God in English.
It's far superior in every way. You have one Bible and over 200 versions, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, God promised to give us to us in our own language, and he promised to be the one that preserves his word. So which, if we speak English, which English translation is it? Because God promised to give it to us in our own language, and they don't all compare.
Which Bible is it out of the 200 that has no copyright?
That's right, the authorized King James only. All the others are copyrighted.
Which Bible is it over, out of those so-called 200 versions? There's only one that is an authorized book of law. It's an authorized book of law. Which Bible is that?
An authorized King James Bible.
It's the only one. In other words, I know I've said this many times, but it bears repeating. This is the only book where, if you're charged with a crime in most nations, they will allow you to defend yourself with this book. This is your venue. Many times I've had to do that where when I've been the only one charged. Now, if there's two of us charged, well, even for the same crime, I can't do that, because when you try that, they'll charge you with practicing law without a license. But when I'm by myself, I can use this as my venue, and I have, and believe me, 15 minutes of the Word of God. They just want you out of the courthouse. Just go take God's truth. I mean, but there has been some cases where actually in one case for an hour I preached the Word of God in that courthouse, and people, nobody said they'd ever seen that, anything like that before.
Well, yeah. Praise God.
Yeah, so anyhow, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in him in all things, which is in the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, fully joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working to the measure of every part, making increase of the body, the edifying of itself in love. And that really, all of that really just can be summed up in one word, church unity. Church unity. Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, we got a couple quick articles we want to, things that are happening in the news. And so, Richard, what do you have there? You've got.
I have the one. It says breaking: Attorney General Pam Bondi orders DOJ to stop all federal funding to sanctuary cities. So it says that some of the American biggest cities are about to lose millions of federal funding if they do not cooperate with the Trump administration to hand over illegal aliens.
It's about time.
Yes.
Yes.
They say the news gets even better, though. Bondi has also ordered the prosecution of any jurisdiction impeding immigration enforcement. This opens the door for the feds to arrest local and state officials for defying immigration laws and harboring illegal aliens.
I hear that they're actually going after that in your state there, Peter, already.
And hallelujah, and pass the hat. It's about time. Democrats officially getting exposed. It's about time.
All right, and also I know that in Colorado, in Denver, they've gone after some of them. All right, Aaron, you have a quick article here. What President Trump did today, I listened to the entire thing. That was a really good speech he gave about protecting our religious rights.
That's correct. This is an Epoch Times article. Trump announces Department of Justice task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. The task force is one of several new, and my phone just did something funny there. You're going to have to give me a couple seconds.
Okay.
Keep talking. The article just disappeared.
All right. Very good. Well, no, we're going to be, when we get with Peter here after the break, I've got some good news for, well, actually not good news, something you probably already knew, but why we have such a problem with the big pharma. And and I'm going to show you, Peter, why they're working so hard to stop RFK.
Wait. All right, Pastor, let's go. I'm all in.
But they got caught. Okay, so do you have it back yet?
Apparently, my phone doesn't want me to read this article.
Okay, somebody's listening out there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that's all right, because we're going to go to break, and we'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah.
nothing but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel.
All righty, we're back. And we're going to, what are we going to do? Okay, we're back. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to announce tomorrow morning, well, tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. At 12,000 Shaker Boulevard, Missionaries to the Preborn will be there. And they will be witnessing for life. They will be witnessing for life at 1 p.m. tomorrow, 12,000 Shaker Boulevard here in Cleveland, Ohio. And folks, they're looking for you to come out and join them and help them save babies. You know, over the years, from the early 1973, we saved over 24,000 over the years. Mm. And we need all the help we can get out there. So it's the cause is a righteous cause. Aaron, you got about 2 minutes to finish your article, and then we're going to get with Dr. Glidden.
Okay. This is a Gateway Pundit article. Trump announces he will sign executive order to eradicate anti-Christian bias. Wonderful news. President Trump on Thursday announced that he will be signing an executive order to make Attorney General Pam Bondi the head of a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. Quotes, Trump said, to confront such weaponization and religious persecution today, I'm signing an executive order to make our Attorney General, who's a great person, the head of a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. It's about time, he added. And that's the key points on this article.
Alrighty.
Do we have, actually, there's more here from the Epoch Times article. Trump announced the move at the Washington Hilton during one of two national prayer breakfast events that he attended, revealing that he would later sign an executive order appointing Attorney General Pam Bondi as the head of the task force. The mission of this task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government, including at the Department of Justice, which was absolutely terrible, the IRS, the FBI, terrible, and other agencies, Trump said. He added that the group will work to fully prosecute violence and vandalism against Christians and move heaven and earth to defend the rights of Christians and religious believers nationwide. Praise the Lord.
All right, very good. We're going to go to Dr. Peter Glidden right now. And Peter, you know, you were always talking about Big Pharma and how they tried to put the crunch on all natural paths. But here's one of the reasons why. When they went after RFK, we kind of did a little research because it's always followed the money, isn't it?
100% all the time.
And so we just took a little look at some of the people that were getting money from Big Pharma. Kamala Harris, $11,341,349. Joe Biden, $9,128,291. Barack Obama, $6,041,678. Hillary Clinton, $4,622,654. Mitt Romney, $3,378,614. Orrin Hatch, $2,878,132. Bob Casey, $2,063,340. Now, remember, it was Bill Cassidy that tried to put, that was threatening And we put this out, and all over the air, people were calling. I mean, it literally in D.C., the phone lines were crushing because he got caught. But Bill Cassidy had received 123,000 and $679. That's a lot of money from Big Pharma.
That's a lot of change, buddy.
Yeah, well, a whole lot of people, and they're just about all of them, had got, especially, remember Mr. Menendez, before he went out, he got himself some big, a big chunk of cash. Okay. Alrighty. So what is up with Peter Glidden tonight?
Well, I'm feeling really pretty good, Pastor. We had, I have to be honest with you. You know, I don't want to sound, I'd like a poor me at all, but you know, I've been doing this for 36 years and it's been an uphill, you know, it's like a salmon swimming upstream, right? Because my profession is trained in the development and the delivery of curative medical therapeutics. And it's a felony to practice naturopathic medicine in Tennessee. We're only licensed and regulated in 26 states. And I mean, let's be honest, most people don't even know how to pronounce naturopathy, right? Let alone know what a naturopathic doctor's training or potential is. And it's, you know, I mean, I've gotten used to it, for goodness sakes. But in right at the end of the year, and I don't know if it was the weather or if it was just everything piling up, I kind of got a little down in the dumps. I did, you know, because it's a slog, man. It's swimming upstream all the time. And you do the same thing in your area, so I think you can relate. So. You know, I prayed a little bit about it. I didn't actually pray a little bit about it. I prayed a lot about it and looking for some type of relief because I know what I'm doing is correct. It's like the fella said, once you've experienced the truth, you're in its velvet grasp forever. And as fate would have it, just what day is today? Thursday? Just on Tuesday, I have a Q&A for my subscribers to my website. It's a live Q&A where they log in. Just like tonight, they ask me questions about their health. And we got three really great testimonials in one night. And it was really, I mean, it really lifted my spirits a lot. There was one woman, she had 100 polyps in her colon, 100 polyps in her colon. She got on board with the protocols that I recommended, and they're all gone. They're all gone. They're gone. They're not there anymore, not even one. 100 polyps gone, no surgery necessary. Another woman was unbelievably grief-stricken. She was, you know, dying from grief. Her husband had died, passed on, and she just couldn't get over it. She was even on the verge of, you know, suicidal ideation. I recommended an acute homeopathic treatment for her, and she came to the Q&A Tuesday and said that I had saved her life because the grief that she was experiencing, the bone crushing grief had lifted magically after she did the therapeutics that I recommended. And we had another person who was able to not have to go on dialysis because the therapeutics were effective. And so, you know, these things kind of came to me in a wave and lifted my spirits quite a bit. So I'm back, baby. I'm back in the saddle. I'm feeling really very good about.
Let me ask you about this then, because you know that was at those hearings. They really went after old RFK, right? So Bernie Sanders was throwing a tantrum. By the way, he's no relation to me, and he was he was throwing a tantrum there, and he was screaming, and so what happened? RFK said what I just said about follow the money. And he said to Bernie Sanders, you received $5 million from Big Pharma. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you thought Bernie Sanders' head was going to fall off. Now there seems to be, and I'm not the only one talking about this. I mean, people are talking about these lists of names of all of these politicians that are taking all the money. It's pay to play. It's pay to play. 100%. It's bribery.
Yeah.
Okay.
100% pay to play. And look, this from the Department of Redundancy Department, right? The only reason that things like this can happen is because of a monopoly. I mean, absolute power corrupts absolutely, unless you're God. And inside of a monopoly, a self-policing, self-regulating monopoly, you can get away with murder, literally. And this is the situation that medicine has been delivered inside of a self-policing, self-regulating monopoly for over 100 years now. And this is how things like this can come to pass. I hope Bobby Kennedy legislates for medical freedom, because that is the fix to this problem.
Well, I mean, isn't this, wouldn't you think that this would be the time when all of you fellows out there would get together and say, you know, look, let's have a big lobbying group, or let's go right after. This is the, we have the momentum now. The thing, the country is moving back towards the right. And
yes.
Big pharma, and right now with this what has taken place, I know that that Biden had given all of these people pardons, right?
Right.
And Fauci was one of them. I don't know what Fauci paid, but Biden was selling pardons. Anyhow, here, you cannot be pardoned until you have confessed your guilt in a court, okay? In other words, you know, they have to charge you, and then you have to confess it. So Fauci would have to confess his guilt. We know Liz Cheney, she's really upset about this because she knows that in order for her to receive what she's done, she's committed high treason too. She has to confess her guilt before a judge, and then the pardon can go in effect, okay? So right now, would that not be the time because of all of what is placed, you know, Fauci and Big Pharma, look, many, many, many people are dead because of that bioweapon they called a shot, okay? You know, it shows you how Big Pharma has killed people. Would not this be the big time to go after them?
It is a good time to go after them, and you know, that's why I wrote the third book that I did. It's called Leave Big Pharma Behind. You're absolutely right. The problem that exists, however, Pastor, and you know, I don't want to be a naysayer, but the problem is that getting members of the alternative medical community to come together, it's a lot like herding cats, right? It really is, and that's been a weak link in our chain for a long time. But you are absolutely correct. We should strike while the iron is hot and advocate at the political level for medical freedom. And I mean, who can argue against medical freedom? Can somebody please tell me what the downside of medical freedom is? There is no downside to medical freedom. The only downside would be people would use less pharmaceuticals and more curative medicines. Well, it would be bad for the pharmaceutical industry, but I, you know, I'm sorry. So, but you're absolutely right. The time is now, and we should band together and strike while the iron is hot. I'm in complete agreement.
Yeah, I am too. Well, I'm going to open the phone lines and let you take some calls. We have some folks right here in the, what happened there?
You just disconnected.
Huh. When I said I open the phone line, he, all right, he just dropped.
There he is.
Okay, he's calling back.
Yeah, I'm back.
All righty, what happened there?
I don't know. You just cut out on me all of a sudden. I think we are being listened to.
All right. All the lines are lighting up here. They're lighting up right from the top down.
Well, I have a quick question. I have a quick question for you, Pastor, before we get into it tonight with you callers. How many of the people, you know, those 24,000 of children that you saved, have any of them gotten in touch with you, you know, when they became adults and said, hey, thank you very much? Has that happened?
The babies that were saved?
Yeah.
Actually, no. Let me tell you why. Well, what happens is their mothers will actually come around, and it's a strange phenomenon, and they'll bring them around. Yeah, several of the mothers have brought the babies around and thanked me for that, yeah. But after they become 3 years of age, I noticed this, that it stops at the age of three. You don't see them anymore. Now, I have heard from them, in, you know, afterwards, but not as far as coming around. Well, that's kind of a strange thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a curious thing. I thought that that would be the case. I just wanted you to validate that for me.
Well, the reason is the mothers, you know, don't really want their children to know that they were going to kill them, you know.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
And so...
Yeah, it's a complicated thing. It's a complicated psychological issue. But nonetheless, that's a huge number, man. I mean, that's a really huge number, and you should be applauded for that.
Well, it would be a huge number if it didn't take 50 years. I mean, that's over.
Well, yeah. You know, it's the small victories, though, right? That's the one thing that I have learned. It's the small victories that matter.
Yeah, it's a small victory, but the percentage-wise, unfortunately, even though, you know, that's a lot percentage-wise, we lost a lot more. But one day, I remember one day we had six babies saved. And one morning, and out of the 12 couples that came, mostly male and female, but there were a couple of women that came together, one half of those six actually said the sinner's prayer and accepted the Lord. So we had six babies saved physically, and we had six people saved because we blocked them off. I wouldn't let them out of where they were at. My car was across the driveway. They pulled into a fenced-in parking lot. And I preached them heaven sweet and hell hot. And we had some repentance.
Good day, Pastor.
And they all turned and left. And that's why that's why the abortion industry was after me for so many years. That's why I was ended up in court all the time. Let's go out. And you've got Mark in Michigan. Mark, you're in the air.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Glidden. Hello, Pastor Sanders.
Hello, Mark.
I wanted to ask a question. I think it ties in kind of with what you were talking about. I'm 70. I've been exercising, you know, almost daily, you know, biking, walking, stretching for like 30 years. And I was prescribed a statin several years back, and I took them for a while and decided I didn't like them, and I was suspicious of them to begin with because I used to hear a doctor on another program talk about how bad they were, so I quit taking them. And I've got one of the doctors that I like, but he's like some that you've mentioned that are could be the best people in the world, but they're still, you know, offering you COVID shots, pneumonia shots, and trying to get me to take these. Well, anyways, he was so disturbed that I completely quit taking those statins that he had me take a calcium indicator test, like a CT, where if it showed calcium around my heart, it showed that there was a buildup of possible plaque and that I should get back on it. So I think he's trying to scare me into taking them again, you know.
Well, the problem is that the medical professionals, the business structure is structured in such a way that the medical doctor doesn't have any time to do any research because they're knee-deep in patients all day long. And regretfully, they listen to the pharmaceutical rep more than they listen to their own conscience or do their own due diligence, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's no relationship between high cholesterol and heart disease, and that is established medical fact. There have been hundreds of published journal articles about that. There's a Russian medical doctor. He did a meta-analysis of all of the research on heart disease ever published anywhere in recorded history. He wrote a book about it. His name is Ravenskov. That's R like Robert, A like Apple, V like Victor, N like Nancy, S like Sierra, K like Ku Klux Klan, O like Oscar, V like Victor, Ravenskov, Ufi, UFFE, Ravenskov. You should look him up. He has a very informative website. Long story short, it's not necessary for anybody to take a statin, a cholesterol-lowering statin drug, because there is no relationship between high cholesterol and heart disease. And furthermore, the supposition that calcium deposition in the blood vessels is related in any way, shape, or form to cholesterol is just a figment of somebody's imagination. They just made that up. That's also not real. If people do have calcium deposition in the blood vessels, it's due to a deficiency in the trace mineral magnesium. It's a magnesium deficiency syndrome. It's got nothing to do with cholesterol. It's got nothing to do with anything other than deficiencies in magnesium, which is very easy to become deficient in magnesium, especially if you're all stressed out. Everybody in the world is all stressed out, right? But look, here's the deal, man. Your body was so smart that it grew itself all by itself from a single cell into you. And right now it's managing trillions of metabolic processes, all of which are outside of your conscious control. How is that happening? Well, it's the wisdom of the spirit inside the body which is running the show. And this is why the body decomposes after death, because the spirit, which is running everything, has left the body. So your body has innate intelligence. Your body wants to be healthy. It's trying to be healthy. It wants to fix itself. It's trying to fix itself, but it needs help. I mean, you got to drink water, right?
Oh, I do drink water, and I take the Osteo FX and the plant-derived minerals and a little bit of selenium.
Then you're good to go. You don't need to worry about that. If the calcium score does come back high on that test, you just need to double down on the Beyond Osteo FX. But you should also make sure that you have eliminated the 12 bad foods. Because remember, it's not what you swallow, right? It's what your body is able to absorb. And if you're eating those foods that aren't good for you on a regular basis, then the nutrients aren't going to be able to be absorbed efficiently into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be three steps forward with the supplements and two and a half steps backward with the food.
Yeah.
So this is a comprehensive program. You got to clean your diet up. You got to be Johnny on the spot with the supplements, and you should be good to go.
Yeah, and I do, you know, have had, you know, some high blood pressure, too, for, 25 years. And, you know, having to take something for that. But otherwise, I feel good. My heart feels strong, and I'm active, and my brain seems to be working good. I was afraid that Crestor was affecting my, you know, how people are starting to get Alzheimer's and stuff from that because of depleted.
Yeah, we believe a number of my colleagues and myself believe that Alzheimer's is directly related to statin drug use.
I think it is.
So you were smart to stop taking it. But here's the deal, right? If you have high blood pressure, it's not because you have a heart. It's not because you have a circulatory system. And it's not because you're getting older. It's because there's an imbalance in the body that needs to be fixed. And the drugs that they've given you are not going to fix that problem. They're simply going to manage the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should attempt to fix the blood pressure issue. And I have a whole protocol outlined on my website that teaches you how to do that.
Okay.
So you should go to the website, become a subscriber, look up the high blood pressure protocol and engage it. It tells you exactly what to do, how to measure your blood pressure, what the right numbers are, what supplements to take. I line it all up for you. And you should do that because, you know, if you have high blood pressure, then as Sherlock Holmes would say, the game is afoot and you need to attempt to fix it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Mark, I got to move on because the whole board's lit. So let's go to Bill in Boston.
Hello, Doctor.
What's going on there, Bill?
Doctor, I have a 73-year-old woman friend who has persistent vomiting. Now, she had vomited blood months in the past. She was hospitalized, and they didn't give her a diagnosis. Currently, she vomits mucus after she eats. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, so what was the diagnosis, do you know?
They didn't give her one or tell her one. They gave her the camera pill to take a couple of times, took x-rays, She's in rehab. They took another X-ray. They're still trying to find out the reason.
Yeah, I'm going to bet you 25 cents she has an ulcer, and
yes,
she doesn't know it.
Not to mention a couple of ulcers. I don't know if that was deduction or what.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so not knowing, you know, what the active diagnosis is, and because I'm not psychic, I can't tell you exactly what the problem with her is, but, we've given these health recovery protocols to over 10,000 people, and 83% of them recovered their health. So the first thing that I would have her do is get one healthy foundation pack and eliminate the 12 bad foods. And I'm going to give you a phone number you can call to get that. And the people at that number will tell you about the 12 bad foods. They'll tell you how to get the supplements at a discount, and they'll tell you how to take them. You ready?
Thank you.
Okay, you ready to write this phone number down?
Yes, got it.
Okay, it's 888-618-1796. It's 888-618-1796, extension 101101. Tell them you want one healthy foundation pack and the list of the 12 bad foods, okay?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I would do for your friend, because her body is starving for nutrients. And when the body is starving for nutrients for a long enough time, I understand. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
All right. Let's go, Red Sox. Thanks for the call. I appreciate the trust.
All righty. We've got, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah. I just have one question. But before that, Peter, Michael Crichton wrote a series of books in the 60s while he was a doctor under a pen name, and apparently his son recopyrighted him, and they put him in Audible in 2015. But one book that I just listened to that was really good, set in Egypt and the Nile, is called Easy Go. You might really enjoy the Audible version of that. So that's Easy Go. The title has nothing to do with the setting and the story, so that's a little weird. But an album, Haim, Something to Tell You, 2017, Three Sisters, and then a song, Straight to Hell, by an English punk rocker, Clash, heard a couple of times on the radio. Very interesting song. It might relate to Vietnam. I can't totally make out the words, but it's an entertaining song, Straight to Hell. But my question is, partially relates to China. There was a big case in 1940 that got, I think, to the Supreme Court, where a woman's product liability, a Coca-Cola bottle, just exploded in her hand and did a lot of damage. And so was Coca-Cola liable, strict liability? They said once in a while in the manufacturing process that would actually happen with these Coke bottles. Or was it negligence? And how can you prove what happened? But given what's happening with China with this trade war, and, for example, all the running shoes come from China,
Yeah.
Have you observed anything about products from China specifically or in general with product liability?
You're going to have to hold on to that thought, because we're coming up to a hard break. And when we get back from that break, you can get your answer. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.